Well, I want to talk today about looking unto Jesus. There's a verse in Hebrews, which I won't turn over there, but I just want to quote it here to get started with. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So that's a little bit of the burden this morning that the Lord has given to us. That verse is actually found in Hebrews 12 and 2. But thinking too about a verse over in Song of Solomon, and not going to actually turn over to it as well, but it's Song of Solomon 3 and 4, and we used it some, maybe not too recent of a message, but I know the Lord's given me one before with that. But it says, I have found him whom my soul loveth. And today, there's a need in the message to express how that the Lord is everything we need. He is what our soul craves. Inside of us, you know, we can't see it, we can't touch it, we can't feel it, so we struggle with it sometimes, and that's why it's by faith, but still it's real, it's alive. It's not something we create by faith. By faith, our eyes are opened to those things we cannot see. By faith, that's what happens. They're there the whole time. All these things we can't see that faith opens up to us and we begin to experience with the Lord, they're the reality of what life really is. It's not that we create them by believing in Jesus. It's that they're there all the time, but yet there's a deadness. There's a lack of life in us. There's a lack of ability to understand what's there, or to experience even the blessings that are waiting for us in the life that is in Jesus, until we by faith take hold of him. And that's why in the burden of the message this morning, we have found the one whom our soul loveth. That part of us we can't see, we can't touch, but it's the everlasting part of us that will go somewhere for eternity. We have found the one whom our soul longs for. And this isn't just that our soul longs for it, but the soul of all mankind. You pick any man in any place, man, woman, whatever the case may be, you pick them, and if you were to be able to see what their soul longed for, it would be Jesus. He is who the soul longs for. We, by faith, have opened up that door for our soul to get a hold of the one who it longs for, and that is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And in that, there's a message that he is everything. We find that he utilizes men here and there to bring his word to us, but in all of it, it is Jesus who is everything. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's everything in between. He is everything we need. All right, and so there was I'm going to read a few stories here. Over in Acts, the third chapter, we'll start with the first verse. And it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And so in the with the help of the Lord, what we want to bring out, it's important to stop and mention that this is two men who had been with Jesus. But Jesus had left the earth. This was them. Jesus was not standing there in the flesh with them, walking with them. This was two men, two disciples of Jesus who had turned to apostles of Jesus, who were carrying the gospel of God, of Jesus to the world. And they looked on this man and said, look on us. Okay? And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. So Peter said, look on us. He said, I don't have what you're looking for, but I got something better, basically. He said, what I do have, I'm going to give to you. All right? And then he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, Peter didn't have the power in himself and just of himself to sit here and lift this man up and cause him to walk. He did not have the power in himself to heal this man. This was, as he said, look on us. It wasn't because he had something in and of himself. But he had the Lord. And he had something from the Lord to give to this man. And he said, in the name or in the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the authority that he gives me to give to you, him, rise up and walk. And it says, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Praising God. And they knew that it was he which set at for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which was had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power and holiness we have made this man to walk? Well, it's obvious what he's saying there. Why are you looking at us like we did this? All right? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers had glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the holy and the just and desired a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. His name, through faith in his name. This salvation that we have and the blessings we receive is because of Jesus. Thank God for everyone who's ever been moved by Jesus to bring his word or to reach out and touch someone and they were healed. Thank God for everything he has done through man that is following him, as Peter said, that is a witness of him. But in all of it, every bit of the glory, every bit of the power, every bit of the deliverance, every bit of the salvation, author and finisher of our faith, every bit of it is about Jesus and his ability to reach down to us, whether it's through men that we see or it's just coming straight to us, however it happens, it's all about Jesus and his ability to touch our lives. Peter said, why do you look on us like we did this thing? Well, because you did. You reached out and touched him. All I did was reach out and touch him. Jesus is the one who reached out and healed this man. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And that is the faith we preach today. When we say, come to Jesus, that's where it is. That's what we're preaching. It's not that anyone here has a power in themselves to do anything for anybody else or even for themselves. But there is a man named Jesus who died and walked on this earth that is still alive today. And he said, oh, it's okay. I'm going to give my power to you. I'm going to manifest it to you, maybe through my people, maybe to you just directly. However it's done, it's all about Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and the one who accomplishes every single thing from start to finish in our salvation. It is about him. That is who we honor and glorify, and that is where our strength comes from. It's from Jesus. Mark 9 and 14. It says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld them, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away.
And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. I don't, Lord, you pray for me, please. Because there's a message here. You know, these disciples, I don't think from what we know in the Word of God, this was not the first person that they had prayed to touch, you know, to heal. This was not the first time this had happened. This was something they had been having some success with. And now they've hit this spot. And, okay, what's happening? It's not occurring. And Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So there was something about this that Jesus, there was something, whether it was in the people who were coming to his disciples or something in his disciples that just hadn't clicked, whatever the case may be. The point was that Jesus had the power to heal this man. And you know, these days, when we face situations, we need to understand something. Because sometimes we've had a lot of success, and then we hit something and it does not seem to be working like it normally works. Do you know what? Jesus still has the power to do that. He is the author and finisher. And I don't know if the Lord doesn't do that sometimes just to remind us that all the success we've been having is not because we have something in ourselves that we're able to beat the devil and to be victorious, but because we have Jesus. And you know, sometimes we may hit a situation and it may seem like we've hit a roadblock. But do you know who hasn't hit a roadblock? Is Jesus. And all along, all the things that brought us to this point have been Jesus. He is the author and finisher. That means there's not an element of this that he's turning over to us to somehow be victorious in and of ourselves. That it's all about Jesus. And so when they came to this place and this roadblock happened, and they're standing there and they're not finding success, they're losing to Satan, basically. The devil is not coming out of this little child. They came to Jesus. And he said, for some reason it wasn't happening, but he said, bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came on unto him? And he said, of a child. And it oft times hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. I just think about the situation that this was. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit and saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The disciples spent some time a little bit after that talking, why didn't this happen? Why couldn't we do? And he said, this kind come forth nothing, but by prayer and fasting. So he talked about something. Another place he said, if thou hast faith as the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to this mountain, move, and it'll be thrown into the sea. And there's more than just a physical structure there being thrown into a sea. That's not what Jesus was getting at. All right, but the point is here that Jesus goes all the way, has the power over everything in our life. He's the reason we've been victorious, and when we hit roadblocks, we need to realize if there's a struggle here, it's about bringing it to Jesus. Bring it to him, because the Lord has the power over everything that we face in life, over every situation that we come to, whatever it may be. If it's a healing, if it's a spiritual healing, if it's a physical healing, if it's a mental healing, if it's whatever type of healing it is, Jesus has the power over that. And there's an element here of being successful in so many things and yet reserving maybe certain things back that we don't bring to Jesus. The Lord has power over everything in our life. If we're hitting some roadblocks, let's get on our knees and let's bring this to Jesus. And let Him explain to us maybe why we're having the struggle we're having. He sat down with them. He said, well, here's what was going on with you. Here's what you need to think about. All right? But let's not assume that this is an area that Jesus just isn't worried about working in our lives, if you understand what I'm saying. Was this just a little boy that Jesus didn't care to heal? Is that why the disciples couldn't heal it? No. This was a horrible situation. The father is trying, from what it says here, he was having to pull him out of fires and pull him out of water as the devil was trying to destroy the life of the child. The father had to pull him out of these places. And since he was little, since the child was little, he had been doing this and having to save his child over and over. Is this not something that Jesus cares about? Yes, it's something that Jesus cares about. You know Jesus cares about what you're facing in life. And sometimes it's because it's insignificant, but sometimes, I don't know, it's not just the insignificant things I think that we struggle sometimes. It's some bigger things that we think maybe God's just left us to somehow figure those things out. Was this just left to this father to figure out how to keep his child out of the fire? No, this is in all things looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who has all power in heaven and earth, is given unto Him to handle whatever situation that we're facing in life. And so let's be encouraged to bring those situations to Him, to let our eyes turn away from the situation as we carry it along. So, you know, you can carry something like this, or you can carry it looking where you're trying to get it to. Let's carry it to the Lord. Let's turn our eyes to the Lord and realize that this is that whatever I'm carrying, whatever it may be, that is something that the Lord cares about. And it's something that I need to bring to Him and to trust Him and to seek, asking what He is going to do. What do I need in this situation? Lord, what is it in me? What do I need to learn in this situation? Like the disciples needed to learn how to allow Jesus to work in this place in their life and in their work and in their ministry. Mark 14. You know, we've heard about the woman with the issue of blood who wanted to just touch the hem of His garment that she might be healed. But you know, there was another place that happened in the Bible. And I'm sorry, I have Mark 14 and 34, but this is not the right reference here. We're going to have to just share it with you, and I'll have to find the reference later because I marked it down incorrectly. But there's a scripture that talks about how that he came over to the land of Gennesaret. And as he came there, the people had all heard about him. And so they brought all these people to him. All these different situations. You know, it was not just one person. And that's what I want us to see, all right? It was not just one person, and therefore it was not just one situation. It was a multitude of situations, of problems, of needs that people had. All right? And they brought them, and it says that if anyone so much as touched the hem of his garment, that they were healed. God didn't say, well, okay, what is this situation? If somebody had the faith to realize that Jesus was the answer to whatever they needed in life, to whatever their situation was, and they had enough faith to just get to where they could touch the hem of his garment, it says they were healed, that their situation was taken care of. Lord, help us to bring all things to Him. And you know what? If we can just take in faith enough just to touch the hem of his garment, the Lord is able to handle those situations in our life. He is the author and finisher of our faith. It says here, others may sing of the things that they choose and satisfy earth's worldly throng. of earthly gain, I have nothing to lose. In my heart, I have but one song. And this morning, I'm encouraged to have one song in my heart. Well, here's this situation. What song are you going to sing here? Same one I was singing over here. Okay, here's this other situation. What are you going to sing here? Same one I was singing over there. What, okay, another situation, and this is just, this one's physical, this one's spiritual, this one's mental. What are you going to do in this situation? Same song I was singing over there. You know, we don't have to have a whole catalog of them. We need one song, so to speak, in our heart. And that song is Jesus. Jesus. You know, I have other songs that come to mind as I start thinking about that. But Lord, help us to have that one song in our heart. All these many different situations. We just read a few this morning. There are so many more. And there's so many places where I think about even where Peter said, what about him? What, you know, Jesus had exactly what Peter needed in that moment for that struggle that he was having just in his faith. Or whatever it was, whatever you want to call it. He was having a struggle that wasn't physical. It was it mental? Was it spiritual? What was it? Whatever it was, the Lord had what Peter needed for that moment. Peter didn't need another song, another way to come to Jesus, another thing besides Jesus. He didn't need to have to handle those thoughts on his own. The Lord was ready. When he brought him to him, he had the answer he needed. Nicodemus came in the middle of the night and, you know, he had this big question. And he said, okay, thanks for coming, Nicodemus. Here's what you really wanted to hear. Here's what you really needed to hear. You know, we don't even have to actually, it's about coming to Jesus. It's about turning our eyes to the author and finisher of our faith with a faith that knows that whatever I'm facing in life, the Lord has the answers for me in this place. And I can trust him and I can bring it to him. All right. Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians 2 and 6 through 10 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And I want to just emphasize over and over where the scriptures say, in him. Walk in whom he is. One song in our life that meets all the needs I have. Because every one of my needs is submitted to him. Because I'm not here about the cares of this life and the needs that it has. I'm here about the Lord who promised to take care of all those things if I would singularly seek him in my life. If I would make him the object of my affections, if I would turn my eyes to him. So when it says, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him, it's saying, stop thinking about all these other things. Stop dealing with all these other things. Take them all to the foot of the cross, give them to Jesus, and seek to know him better, to live for him, to follow him, and watch how he teaches you. It's not that the Lord goes around you, goes over, okay, boom, we'll do it with that. He set the disciples down. He said, here's what it was. Some of this he's going to teach you how to handle. But that's where you're going to learn the best way how to handle the situations you're in life. Is when you're at the foot of the cross and you've brought all of those things with you. You don't have some of them over here to just be handled this way and some over here to be handled this way. But they're all there at the foot of the cross and you're just waiting for what Jesus wants you to do and whatever those situations are in life. So as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abiding therein with thanksgiving. And beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, through other ways to handle situations. You know, even, you know, Lord help us. You know, it's wonderful to come to the house of the Lord and to hear the Lord's words spoken to us. And when it's spoken to us, it's spoken by people. And that's a blessing to have that. But you know what? If it's not something more than that, then it's just philosophy and vain deceit. If it's teaching me to handle my situation some way besides bringing all that I am and everything that I have to the Lord, then it's philosophy and vain deceit. If somehow it's teaching me to depend on man for things or depend on myself or the pulpit or the teacher or the mentor to depend on somebody else for what I need in life, then it's philosophy and vain deceit is what is working for my life. Because all of it's given for us. Peter said, why look ye on us? Why look ye on these things? Jesus is the one who's made this man whole. Jesus is the one who can help you. Jesus is the one who can change your life. Jesus is the one who can deliver you. And Jesus is the one that can handle whatever situation you're going through in life and help you with it. All right? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. You're complete. You're perfect in him. The word is interchangeable there. We see it sometimes translated as perfect in the Bible. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Anything in your life that is not gathered up and brought to the foot of the cross is something that is keeping you from being complete in Jesus. And this is the burden of the message today, that we would get a hold of that and that we would not reserve anything, but we would bring them all to the Lord and realize that he will meet me there. He will meet the need of my soul and my life. We have some other verses about that. Let's look over 1 John, 2nd chapter. 2nd chapter and the 24th verse. It says, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son. Do not let anybody, when you got delivered from the power of sin and Satan, you got delivered by the power of Christ, and because you came to him, there was not a man who delivered you from that place. Man was only here as a vessel. If he had any part in it, it was only as a vessel. If any man delivered you, then you did not get delivered. If you were delivered, you were delivered by the power of Christ and by Jesus Christ himself coming down and meeting you wherever it was that you knelt. I'm pointing to this altar, but wherever you knelt before the Lord and you found him, you found Jesus. And if you are delivered, that's why you are delivered. And there is nothing else that will ever deliver you in life from the power of sin and Satan except the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us and died on the cross and shed his blood for us. There is not a man anywhere, no matter how much he's grown in the Lord, that has any power to give you any deliverance in your life unless Jesus comes along and works through him. That is the only way that you can find deliverance in this world. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the way it goes out. We have to meet Jesus. And once we met him, we have to follow him. It says, you shall also, if what you've heard from the beginning, if that continues to remain in you, then as you go and you hear the gospel preached, it will help you just remain in the Son, to continue in him and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you, and these things I feel the Lord is speaking to us this morning, that we be not deceived. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Once again, thank God for the gospel, your personal connection to the Lord, and your willingness to allow him to live in your life is what will take you to heaven. It's what will keep you, what will deliver you from the power of sin and Satan, and keep your soul safe, and take you home to be safe with him. That is what will carry you there. There is not anything any man can do beyond just sharing what's happened in their life and sharing what God has given them to say. That connection has to happen within each one of us in order for this to be more than just words that we've heard. That connection to the Lord, that realization that he is the author and finisher. He is everything. He is the beginning and the end of my salvation. He is my deliverance. All right? It says also here over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And 27 verse of the first chapter. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why would he do this? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. This is saying, because so that no one would begin to think that somehow they are the reason why people are able to be saved and live saved. That no flesh would glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Thank the Lord that I have a song in the deep of the night. No matter how dark is the way, into the gloom this song shines like a light. In my heart I have but one song. My heart is reserved for Jesus alone. I hope and pray the Lord bless you, encourage you, and strengthen you today. And I want us to remember the burden of this message. God has done mighty and powerful things, and at times he has done them through people. But there's not a man on earth that has this power in and of himself. And there's not a man on earth that can come along and give you that in and of themselves. That is about knowing Jesus. And he is the one who has the power to make whatever change needs to happen in our life. You pray for me.